Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's October 30th, 2021, live to be rebroadcast November 3rd, 2021 on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician with my co-host Ron Meniza. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. We're here in beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut, usually on Mondays at 10 o'clock a.m., but because of scheduling changes, we're here today at, around 2 o'clock p.m., on Facebook Live. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. All right, so let's do some health check-ins. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
How should I be?
I don't know. How should you be?
I should be good.
All right. And you are good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty good.
Riding is good. You're,
yeah.
You've been, teaching spinning at the community center.
Teaching spinning at the community center.
You haven't caught COVID. That's good.
No. That's been my primary thing is I've been teaching spinning at the community center. So.
And when you go to the community center, everybody is masked. You're masked.
Right.
You're absolutely masked. Your students are masked and everybody is masked.
That's correct.
Right. Yeah, very good. I'm okay, too. I'm feeling unmigrainy, which is great. And I think I attribute it to getting better and more sleep, and I think also cutting way back on caffeine. I'm not 100% caffeine-free, but I'm having, where I was having maybe a cup of something caffeinated every day, now I'm having sips of something caffeinated most days, and some days nothing at all. And so I think that's what's working for me. I mean, I've still got stress. I've still got a lot of work to do. But it seems like if I take the caffeine out, my cortisol just doesn't get as high, and that doesn't affect the blood flow in my brain as much, and then I don't get the migraine phenomenon. So that's good. We are looking at the COVID booster, so we're probably both going to get that now that they've authorized the Moderna booster, and we'll probably both take the Moderna booster. I'm a little concerned about it because, you know, the last time I took my second dose, I spent the day in bed with a migraine, and I'm hoping that doesn't happen again, but what are you going to do? I am concerned because I have been seeing patients, not in my office, I've been seeing them virtually, with COVID, and I have been treating people and helping them to get through their COVID symptoms. So it's very concerning to me and how people are catching it. I had somebody caught it from somebody at work, and somebody else caught it from their kids' volleyball team. So, you know, it's still out there. Cases are pretty low, and depending on where you live, cases are pretty low, but it's still a good idea to be careful in congregate settings. And the other thing that I am concerned about is that the two cases that I saw, both of the people were vaccinated. It's possible that vaccine efficacy is wearing down, so people are going to need boosters, unfortunately. But the vaccines worked as they are supposed to work in that they prevented, these people did not get sick enough that they needed to go into the hospital. So that's a really good thing. I'm hoping for lots of healing for people. If you are going to go indoors in a congregate setting, I think it's still a good idea to wear masks. We are not done with this pandemic, unfortunately. Cases are very low. The fact that a lot of people have caught it, and also that a lot of people have been vaccinated really does help. We're certainly not where we were in March or April of 2020, but it's still out there, and it's still true that if you catch it, you don't know how sick you're going to get. And even if you don't, you know, get into the hospital, you might feel pretty bad for a good couple of weeks. This is not your average flu. This is not just a cold. I mean, and it may be for you. You don't know, but you'll see. So getting the booster, if you can do it, is probably a good idea. So because you're going to be less likely to catch it, and if you do catch it, you'll get a milder case. And you know, if you get the booster, chances are, if you don't feel well, you're going to not feel well for a day, and that's maybe it. So, all right. So let's talk about a little bit more. We have this autumn happening, and we finally got some freezes, and we're finally getting some color here. So it does look like autumn out there. It's getting a little bit colder. I finally switched out my winter and summer clothes, and you know, putting on sweaters.
Very important.
I wore a sweater to work the other day. It was very sad. Where in the beginning of the month I was wearing shorts, and in the middle of the month I was wearing shorts. And who knows, that may happen again, because I remember last year when I did the virtual New Hampshire Naturopathic Association conference, I was in shorts and a t-shirt on my patio with my laptop doing the conference. I don't know if that'll happen this year again. We'll see what the outlook is, but it looks like we're going to have some cooler weather coming up. And we have, I think we, some places in Connecticut had some frost already. Certainly in Norfolk, is that how you say it? And Colebrook, those high elevation places, they might have had some. Those are the cold places in the state.
Right, Norfolk without an R.
Yeah, it's even though it's Norfolk,
right.
It's pronounced Norfolk, especially if you're Bob Maxson, I guess. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
Just think that's funny.
Maybe if you're a local, that's what it is, and I'm revealing myself to not be a local. All right, so let's wrap up what we were talking about with arthritis a couple of weeks ago. So if we get through this information I wanted to give you about arthritis, then Ron's going to ask me some questions, and it'll be more like a fun interview thing, okay? So are you all set to do that when we're ready?
Sure.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. So when you have joint pain, it's a good idea to get a clinician to help you determine whether the joint pain is from degeneration, inflammation, or both. If it's inflammatory, it's going to tend to occur in the same joints on both sides. If it's degenerative, you'll have it in specific places where you tend to overuse a joint. So if you're an athlete, or if you do repetitive motion, or just anywhere you tend to use a lot, you're going to tend to get it. And so if you get it more in your right hand than in your left, that's probably more a use injury as opposed to an inflammatory injury. And you, of course, can get both. And if you have bilateral, inflammation of joints on both sides, you may need to see a rheumatologist just to get some definitive diagnosis, because there are various conditions that are chronically inflammatory that can cause joint inflammation, and a rheumatologist can help you sort out what it is that's going on. And so you can get rheumatoid arthritis, you can get polymyalgia rheumatica, you can get lupus, you can get just some nonspecific elevated autoimmune antibodies that leads to inflammatory arthritis. So figuring out which thing you have is a good idea, and figuring out how severe it is a good idea, because depending how severe it is, it might be a good idea to take pharmaceutical meds. We are going to give you some suggestions as to what can be helpful in terms of natural medicine, but sometimes it's necessary to take pharmaceuticals. And if you need to take pharmaceuticals, it's okay. As a naturopathic physician, my perspective is not you should only ever use natural medicine. My perspective is you use whatever works. And I believe that natural medicine can work, but sometimes it's necessary also to use pharmaceuticals, and use pharmaceuticals when you need to. So here's some supplements that can be helpful for arthritis. And so let's talk about the big one, turmeric. So when you hear the terms turmeric or curcumin, turmeric is the plant, and it's a cute little root. It looks kind of like a ginger root, and they are in the same family. So if you dig up a turmeric root, it looks like a small ginger root, and then if you cut it open, it's that bright orangey yellow. It's very pretty.
And it stains everything.
Yes, it does. It stains. And it has been used in various cultures, for example, in India, as a dye, because it's very useful as a dye. And if you get it on something, it doesn't come out well. So, and that's the case, unfortunately. But it's wonderfully anti-inflammatory, and anything it touches will probably not get inflamed. So that's a nice thing. So yes, you're a little yellow, but you're probably healthier for being a little yellow. So the research on turmeric for joint pain is sort of limited, but it definitely has been shown to improve joint pain better than placebo, and also as well as ibuprofen, which is really great. So when you take turmeric or curcumin, the thing with curcumin and turmeric is that it's not very absorbable. So if you eat it in your food, if you're just sprinkling turmeric powder on your food, or if you're eating curry, curry is not one thing. Curry is a combination of various spices, including black pepper, which can help to enhance the absorption of turmeric. But generally, when you're eating it, you will get some absorption, but not nearly as much as if the turmeric or curcumin has been enhanced. However, you'll get some absorption of it, and it will go through your digestive system, and it does, I have had patients tell me if they drink turmeric and ginger tea, or just turmeric tea, their stomach calms down. So if they have heartburn, if they have reflux, and they drink turmeric tea, it feels better when they do it. It's because it's a direct anti-inflammatory. Any surface the turmeric touches, it will reduce inflammation. You just have to get it to the surfaces. And if you just get inexpensive turmeric, or if you get turmeric powder from the store, it's not going to be very absorbable, but it will do lovely things for preventing inflammation in your digestive system. So as I said, anywhere it touches, it's going to reduce inflammation. We're giving it to Ron so he doesn't get inflammation in his intestines, so he doesn't get those intestinal blockages that he's prone to because of his hernia repair. So he takes turmeric with every meal, along with some enzymes, and we're hoping that he's not going to have to, I'm not going to have to take him to the hospital again for a blockage. So if you take curcumin and you want it to help your joints, it's a good idea to either get it in water dispersible form or to get it in phytosome or liposome form. And phytosome and liposome are sort of used interchangeably in the nutraceutical world. Phytosome simply means that the molecule is attached to phosphatidylcholine. And phosphatidylcholine is a phospholipid that it's part of all of the cells, the cell membranes of everywhere in your body. So your body's very interested in absorbing phosphatidylcholine. And so when you have a molecule that's attached to phosphatidylcholine, your cells will take it up eagerly. And then if something's attached to it, that will go easier inside the cells. Then that's why liposomes and phytosome form of many different compounds tend to work better than those forms without the phytosome. And you can get them into the cells better. And you can get various phytosomes. You can get curcumin phytosome. You can get green tea phytosome. You can get hawthorn phytosome. And you can get milk thistle phytosome. So hawthorn phytosome is going to help you with your blood vessels and your heart structure. And milk thistle phytosome is going to be preferential to helping the liver. And green tea phytosome helps with everything. It's great anti-inflammatory. It's great for gene regulation. It's so that you have normal function of genes, and curcumin and green tea can be helpful in keeping gene function regular, so you're less likely to get cancer, and it can help with cancers that already exist. So anyway, if you're considering taking it for inflammation and arthritis, if you take curcumin or turmeric, or curcumin is the extract, that's the purified extract of turmeric, or you're taking turmeric in general, you want to take it in the phytosome or water dispersible form. So look for those ask for those from your practitioner, or look for them in the health food store in those forms. All right. Then there's fish oil. Fish oil has omega-3 fatty acids. Fish oil has been shown specifically to reduce the symptoms of joint pain and rheumatoid arthritis. Fish oil may or may not help with osteoarthritis. It does help with inflammation in general. It's going to help with rheumatic conditions, like if you have a rheumatic joint problem. By rheumatic, I mean that you have an inflammatory issue that's causing you to have joint pain. Fish oil is going to be more likely to help you if it's rheumatic, because it targets inflammation. It does target structure to an extent as well. So essential fatty acids are also part of the cell membrane structure of all the cells in your body. So if you have healthier cell membrane structure, you could have some relief of osteoarthritis symptoms. But osteoarthritis is primarily the arthritis piece means that there is inflammation, but the inflammation is occurring because you have structures rubbing together that are not bolstered by healthy cartilage. And so So when you take fish oil primarily is going to work to help the inflammation more than it's going to help the structure. And that's why it's going to help with rheumatic conditions. But if you do have an inflammatory aspect to your osteoarthritis, you're probably going to feel better if you take the fish oil. And there's lots of good reasons to take fish oil otherwise, like cell structure in your whole body, reducing inflammation in your skin, reducing inflammation really everywhere. It is helpful for cancer treatment. It's helpful for strengthening the structure of all of the cells in your body. So you're going to be able to you're going to be able to take on nutrients into your cells generally better than if you have the fish oil on board. Okay, let's go to glucosamine. So glucosamine we've talked about a lot. Glucosamine is a natural part of cartilage. it helps prevent bones from, it helps to rebuild cartilage. And so if you, what you have is degeneration of your joints, you, what you want to do is help to rebuild the cartilage. And the glucosamine is going to be a strong component to help to rebuild those joints. So glucosamine has been very well studied for osteoarthritis. It may or may not work really well. Some studies say that it works well, and some studies say it doesn't work well. My patients who take it often do have help with it. You do have to take, the studies that show that it works show that you have to take about 1,500 milligrams a day. And sometimes people don't take enough, and they don't take it for long enough. Because when I was in school years and years ago, we talked about glucosamine help being helpful. You really have to take 1,500 milligrams a day, and you really have to take it for 3 months. I have seen people take it for less time than that and have relief sooner than that. But those are the benchmark, the rule of thumb, 3 months, 1,500 milligrams. If you are a very small person, like you weigh 100 pounds or so, you may be able to take less. But if you're running around 150 pounds plus or minus, you're probably looking at 1,500 milligrams a day because that's what the studies show. And is glucosamine as good as chondroitin? In my experience, what I had learned from Michael Murray, who is somebody who researched many supplements over the years. He was a naturopathic physician that researched supplements. He talked about how it's, when you take chondroitin gets broken down into its components, one of which is glucosamine, and then your body puts it back together as the chondroitin it needs for your joints. So it's not necessary to take chondroitin. That's one view. However, chondroitin has been studied itself, that when you take chondroitin supplements, they do help. So whether that's true or not, what Michael Murray said, there are studies that show that chondroitin itself, even though it's the whole molecule, you can take it, and people who take chondroitin do have improvements in their pain. That has been studied. So if you have a glucosamine chondroitin supplement, it's fine. I probably wouldn't take chondroitin by itself because glucosamine is a smaller molecule, it's easier to absorb. But if you get chondroitin glucosamine supplements together, I think that's fine. And if you want to take just glucosamine, that's probably fine too. So chondroitin, it depends on your size and depends on what you're accomplishing, the dose that you're going to take of chondroitin. Then there's Sam E. Hi, Sammy. Sammy stands for S-adenosylmethionine, and it's a supplement that is used to help with depression. It's also helpful for osteoarthritis. Your liver does make Sammy from methionine, which is an amino acid, and it does help with the production and repair of cartilage. The other thing that Sammy does is Sammy is helpful in the methylation pathway. So if you have issues with methylation, Sammy can help be a traffic director for your vitamins B12, B6, and folic acid. And those vitamins are very important in the production of neurotransmitters and in the production of protein and in energy production. And detoxification. And so Sammy works with all of those things, and also in inflammation. Sammy does help with, it has been studied to help with inflammation. The thing that concerns me with Sammy is kind of pricey. But you don't have to take huge doses of it like you do. If you want to use it for depression, you're looking at, you know, several, you know, over 1,000 milligrams for depression, maybe even higher. For joint pain, you might be able to get away with less, although you're taking it several times a day. So you are going to wind up getting up to over 1,000 milligrams, you know, maybe 6 to 1,000 milligrams of SAMe. It can be helpful, and, you know, it's going to take time to get results. It doesn't work the same way as glucosamine and chondroitin. It's going to work as a traffic director, and it's going to help with the inflammation and pain, because it's working on the inflammation. It's not so much working on rebuilding your joints. Then there's Boswellia. Boswellia is also known as frankincense. So frankincense is, one of the gifts.
Three kings.
Yeah, I know. Well, of the three things that they, what did they bring? They brought
myrrh, frankincense, and
gold.
Gold.
Right. Yes. So what's interesting about all of those things is both myrrh and frankincense are medicinal herbs. Mm. And frankincense, or boswellia, is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It can be really helpful for joint pain. So it's a very kind thing that they brought the boswellia to Jesus and Mary and Joseph. It was very nice because, you know, Joseph had a little arthritis because he was a carpenter, right? Mm-hmm. So he might be a little more prone to arthritis. He takes some boswellia. He might help his pain. It's very good.
And Mary just had a baby.
Right? And so she might be a little sore. Mm-hmm. Although, I don't know if I would take boswellia if I were nursing.
Okay.
Yeah. But the myrrh is it's a resin. It's Camphora myrrha. And it comes from a tree. It's a tree resin, and resins are wonderfully antimicrobial. Again, I don't know if I would take myrrh if I were pregnant, but myrrh is also very useful. So they're all medicinal. Gold, believe it or not, is also used internally for arthritis, and gold doesn't deteriorate very well, and that's why people used to get gold crowns. Maybe my next crown, I should tell them to put a gold one in instead of a composite crown. I'm not going to get another crown because these are going to last forever. I have two already. So anyway, so those three things. But boswellia has been...
It's mirth, not myrrh.
Mirth? No. It's M-Y-R-R-H.
Oh. M-Y-R-R-H. Myrrh.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's myrrh. Yeah. That's the gift of... I'm not sure what you're looking at, but...
As an ointment. It says here's an ointment for not new baby born.
Oh,
Yeah,
that's interesting because, like I said, it's antimicrobial. If there's any infection or anything, it can be helpful. If if you have some tears from childbirth, it might be helpful for that topically. I don't know if I would take it internally for a cold if I were nursing though.
I have all the results.
Yes,
the gold was for Joseph to pay for the stable.
Oh.
The frankincense to perfume it, and the myrrh as an ointment for the newborn baby.
Right. Like I said, because... So the thing with myrrh, like I said, myrrh is an antimicrobial. And if I don't know if they're more prone to infection then. And so frankincense does have a nice scent, but it is also a wonderful anti-inflammatory. And, you know, people who use essential oils, and then you can also get, guess what? You can get boswellia phytosome. Mm. You can get curcumin phytosome. You can get boswellia phytosome as well. And that's going to be more absorbable than straight up boswellia. So did you know that there's an extract from avocado and soybean oil called avocado soybean unsaponifiables, which means that you can't make it into a soap. And that's a supplement that you can get. I've never heard of it before, but that's something that can help with arthritis. Then there's devil's claw, harpagophytum, that has harpagocide, and it's anti-inflammatory. You'll see it in a lot of combinations. And it helps with arthritis pain, whether it's inflammatory or degenerative. It's helpful for pain. And so you'll see it mixed with other things. I don't usually give it by itself, but I'm often offering things that have it as one of its ingredients. Then there's MSM, methylsulfonylmethane. Methylsulfonylmethane is a very easy way to get sulfur into your body. And it is lovely anti-inflammatory. It's a great way for your body to easily incorporate sulfur, and sulfur is part of the structure. Sulfur is an element, and it's part of the structure of your joints. So all of the glucosamine, your chondroitin, and your MSM are all sulfur-bearing amino acids. Well, MSM isn't an amino acid, but glucosamine is, and then chondroitin is a combination, and then MSM is just this methylated sulfur. So it's very easy to absorb. Your body takes it up readily, and it does use it to help with inflammation, and it helps it. It's a good source of sulfur, so it's going to help with your hair, skin, nails, anywhere that needs sulfur. It's going to help you make glutathione, which is an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant compound. And you'll often get supplements that have all three things. They'll have MSM, glucosamine, and chondroitin all together. And those can make really nice anti-arthritis formulations, especially if you have degenerative arthritis. So we have Kevin writing in. Kevin says he's 65 and he's a big guy and he beats up his knees when he goes for walks. And he wants to know if he should get expensive omega fish oil versus cheaper ones.
Oh,
so that's a great question. It's a very good question. So here's the thing. When I'm looking at a fish oil supplement, I'm not as concerned about the cost as I am about what's in the fish oil. Mm. I like to see a fish oil that has very few ingredients in it, that basically has fish oil in it. So
that
sometimes,
sounds a little fishy.
Right?
Mm.
So sometimes if you get fish oil, it could have other oils mixed into it. It could have other ingredients to stabilize it. And cheaper products will tend to have that because it extends the shelf life.
Mm.
So a higher quality fish oil is going to have more omega-3 fatty acids in it because depending on your size, I mean, you have to experiment with dose with omega-3 fish oils. And so you have to experiment with how much essential fatty acid you're going to need. And the essential fatty acids that are basically in fish oil are they're omega-3s, and they're basically EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, and DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. And those are used directly by your body. If you were to take something like flaxseed oil or blackcurrant oil, flaxseed oil has alpha-linolenic acid in it, which is also an omega-3 fatty acid, but your body has to break it down into EPA and DHA. And the yield is much lower than if you took it in fish oil. So the best way to get fish oil in, if you want to get a really good dose, is to take it by liquid. Not everybody's going to do that. But let me just explain to you. So when I take fish oil, I take liquid. And I found liquids that taste good. They taste very mild. They taste oily and lemony. If your fish oil tastes too fishy, it's probably bad already. If you get fish oil from a good, reputable company, it's not going to go bad as readily because they're going to put things to stabilize in it. They'll put in lemon in it, and lemon has antioxidant properties, and they'll also often put rosemary in it, which is a wonderful antioxidant. It's also anti-inflammatory. So if you can find a fish oil that tastes good to you, you're going to be able to get a higher dose in because it's not encapsulated. Once you put things in pills, you have to take more pills, and they're swallowing a lot of pills. What I like about taking fish oil is I put it in a spoon, it's one and done. So usually if I'm taking fish oil, I'm taking 1.5 to 2 teaspoons because of my size and what I'm trying to accomplish. I take it off the spoon, it's fine, and I don't have a problem with it. And I would not recommend getting an unflavored fish oil. Your cat or dog might enjoy that, and they often do. And you can get veterinary fish oil. And I used to give it when we had Nala. I gave Nala fish oil, and she had no problem taking it. And you get stinky, yucky fish oil or, you know, fish-flavored fish oil for your pets, and they love it. But for us, you want it flavored with a little fruit. And I think lemon is generally the best one. You can get fish oil flavored with orange. You can get fish oil flavored with peppermint. I had mint-flavored cod liver oil once, and I thought that would be really refreshing. It wasn't. I didn't care for it. Citrus goes very nicely. The other thing you can get in liquid is emulsified fish oil. And if you get these emulsions, they're not going to be as liquidy. They put something in it to emulsify it, and then they mix a flavor in it. So it tastes, for example, you get orange flavored, and it's great for kids. It comes in different flavors. Like there's a couple companies that do a nice job with emulsified fish oils, and they'll come in lemon, it'll come in tropical, it'll come in mango, it'll come in orange. And those are they're very tasty. The only problem with the emulsified fish oils in liquid is because they're putting the emulsifying agents in, you're getting less fish oil, you're getting less omega-3s per unit volume, per tablespoon. So you could take a little more if you want to do that. The other thing is it increases the cost. It increased the cost per unit volume or per dose because of the emulsification. But if it makes it so that you're willing to take it, it doesn't work if you don't take it. So that's my recommendation. If you're going to get a fish oil, if you can stand to take liquid, that's the best way to do it. Some people will mix the liquid into something else. You can mix fish oil into a bit of applesauce or into a bit of apple butter even. Those are sweet, so you may not enjoy that. Another thing to mix it into, because fish oil's on the savory side, is to mix it into some hummus. If you like hummus, I've found that if I have a savory supplement, I like to mix it into hummus because it's something you can mix it into and it'll disguise the taste of what you're eating, or it'll just carry whatever you're trying to get in. And if the substance is savory, like a green powder, goes nicely into hummus. I take moringa powder, and moringa powder tastes a little like spinach. And so it didn't taste good in my applesauce, but I put it into hummus and it was great. It's like, tastes like mildly green tasting hummus, but it still tastes like hummus. So fish oil and hummus might be a good way to go. Now, if you're listening to me going, I'm not taking liquid. No way. I don't care if it's emulsified. I don't care if it tastes like mangoes. I can still taste the fish. I'm taking pills. Okay. So what you want to do is you really do want to get a good quality fish oil, and you want to get it. It's a good idea to get it from the health food store or from your practitioner. And you want to get a brand. Your practitioner can probably find a cost-effective brand for you. So can the health food store. That's not going to have a lot of extra ingredients in it. Unfortunately, when you go to the drugstore or get poor quality fish oils, they're going to have other ingredients that you don't want, like poor quality vitamin E, or they can have other oils in it, like a hydrogenated oil or a soybean oil or something like that, or too much in the way of a tablet. And depending on the dose of omega-3 fatty acids, you may have to take more pills. So if you're trying to get a good dose of omega-3s, like I said, the easiest way to get the big dose of the omega-3s is to take liquid. But if you're just not going there, it's okay. You can look for pills, and look for pills that have a good dose of omega-3 fatty acids and don't have lots of extra ingredients. And the way you're generally going to do that is if you go to the health food store or get it from a practitioner. So. All right, so that's supplements for arthritis. Now, one of the things that happens to me is, if you come see me, I'm going to talk to you about exercise, because exercise is good for you. It's good for everybody, all right? If you don't move, it's not good for you. So whatever's going on with you, I'm going to talk to you about exercise. And you're going to say, but doc, I hurt. I can't exercise. It's hard for me to exercise. And I'm going to say to you, all right, well, guess what? It's really important for you to fix whatever it is that's preventing you from exercising so that you can exercise, or find a way that even with the impairments that you do have or the challenges you do have, you can get some kind of exercise. And the thing is, exercise can help with pain. And if you don't move, you're going to have more and more pain. It's a vicious cycle. If you're like, well, I'm going to hurt if I exercise, well, you're going to hurt if you don't exercise, because movement increases circulation, it increases function and use, and it challenges your body to go ahead and repair whatever part is hurting you. So getting movement is super important. So how do you exercise when you hurt? So just remember, as I said, it eases arthritis, stiffness, and pain. So here's some advice from the Mayo Clinic. It's really critical if you have arthritis, because it increases your strength and flexibility, helps reduce your joint pain, helps with your energy. And as I said, it can be really, you can't even think about walking around the block if you're in a lot of pain. But we want you to do is to do what you can do. And that's, I mean, I say that even to people who are not hurting. What exercise should I do?
The one you'll do.
Right. And right. The one that you can do. That's absolutely right. So when you get exercise, you strengthen the muscles around your joints, so you're not entirely relying on the joint itself to hold you up. It helps to maintain your bone strength. If you get exercise, you'll keep your bone density. You'll have more energy to get through the day, and you will sleep better. I have patients who have trouble sleeping. So what are you doing for exercise? Well, I'm kind of not. I'm not really motivated. Right. So you're going to sleep better if you get exercise. It'll help your weight. If you have extra weight on, that's going to put weight on your joints. The more weight you have on your joints, the more they have to carry. So the less weight you have to carry around, you preserve your joints better. Your quality of life is just going to be better in every way if you get regular exercise, just because it helps with circulation. It helps to put circulation through your organs of detoxification. It helps you sweat. It causes you to drink more clean water, so that because when you get rid of your sweat, you're going to replace it with clean water, and so you getting rid of toxins that way. Also, as you get older, it's harder to balance. And so when you get regular exercise, you help to improve your balance. When you increase your muscle mass, your muscles have proprioceptors in them. And proprioceptors are receptors in your muscles that help you to know where you are in space. The more muscle mass you have, the more proprioceptors you have. If your muscles are deteriorated, or you don't have a lot of muscle, then you're going to have less proprioceptors. You're going to have issues with balance. So getting regular exercise of any kind will help you with your balance overall. And in general, you're not going to aggravate your joint pain by exercising unless you do it to excess. So you have to match your exercise to what's going on with you, and you should be doing that anyway. So if you strengthen the tissue, the ligaments and tendons and muscles around the joints, you're going to maintain the support for your bones. Your bones are going to be more aligned. Your joints are going to be more aligned, and you're going to have less degeneration. And then if you're putting good supplements on board, like glucosamine, chondroitin, MSM, collagen. We didn't talk about collagen. Nope. You should do that. So if you're going to put all those things on board, if the joints are well aligned, those substances are going to get in there, and they're going to help you. They're going to help with regeneration of your joints. Obviously, you should talk to your doctor about what exercise would be best for you, and you should really find a doctor who has an opinion about that, because some doctors don't really know. If you have a naturopathic physician, they'll probably have an opinion about it. I certainly do. If you talk to me about exercise, I get on the floor and I show my patients exercise. No, really, I do. Mm. And so, you have joint pain? Okay, you want to do wall leg lifts and you want to do one-legged deadlifts, and I show them. I show them what to do, and then I write it down for them. And then, you know, I'll give people a core workout. I'll give people links so they can look at how to do foam rollers. I directly give people instructions around exercise. So naturopathic physicians in general will do that. I don't know if all naturopaths do, but, I mean, therapeutic exercise is part of what we're taught to teach people, and we're taught to teach people that it's important to exercise. So most are going to be up on that. Certainly if you see an orthopedist, or if you see a physical therapist, or a doctor of physical medicine, also known as a physiatrist, they're going to give you exercises. That's part of what they do. They give you range of motion exercises and strengthening exercises. So range of motion are going to help you put your joint. And I really need to do more range of motion, because remember last year I broke this arm. And so it's a little creaky, and I'm finding that it's feeling a little creakier right now. And I asked my friend Dave if he thought that, you know, because it's getting close to the anniversary. The anniversary is 2 weeks away. Huh. Does it make sense that it would bother me a little more? I don't know if that's the case. It might just be that it's the time of year. It's starting to get cold again.
Damp weather.
Yeah, and Dr. Schweiger said that to me. He said, when it rains, you're going to feel it. It's going to be a little creaky.
Yep.
And I talked to Dr. Swez about it yesterday, and Dr. Swez did some work on it. He adjusted it, and he buzzed it, and he did some range of motion with me, and I need to just get on. Dr. Schweiger showed me some nice range of motion exercises, and do I always do them? I don't always do them. So if you fall off the wagon, it's okay. Just take a reminder and do your exercises, because it's good for you. All right, strengthening exercises, also important. They help to build the muscles around the joints, and if you do weight training in general, that's going to be helpful for any joint. Try not to exercise the same muscle groups 2 days in a row if you're doing resistance training, like you might do legs one day. If you're doing back-to-back days, you could do legs one day and arms the other day, or just do a full routine and don't do resistance training the next day. You can stretch. You can do at least mild stretching every day if you want to. Stretching is probably a good idea to do every day if you can. People do yoga every day. If I do any kind of if I ride my bike, my rule is I'm supposed to stretch afterwards. If I don't do it, it's because I didn't have time. But my default is I'm going to stretch afterwards, and also foam roll. I generally will foam roll after a walk, run, or ride. Cardio exercise can also help you, because you're doing some repetitive movement and you're getting circulation in. Walking, cycling, swimming can also be helpful. I do try to tell people, if they can get in water, that's a great thing. It's really great for arthritis because it supports you. It helps you if you're in pain. The water's going to support your joints, and you're going to feel better when you're in the water, and you might find that you have more range of motion. You can move through more range of motion if you're in water. You don't necessarily have to do laps. You can do exercises in the water. You want to do an intensity that works for you. Any movement can be helpful. Gentle yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, Holistically oriented dance like Nia can be helpful for you. There are forms of dance that are related to yoga that can be really helpful. And, you know, I like Nia because it's a body, mind, fitness art, and it helps. It does a lot of range of motion stuff. You're moving through joints all through the body. Yoga will do that for you too. And the neat thing about Nia, so if you could look up Nia, you could look up Nia on YouTube and you could look it up. You go to nianow.com to look it up. It is a form of dance and movement where you're doing flowing repetitive movements through a lot of different ranges of motion. It's a little different than doing yoga. Although yoga can be wonderful, yoga, you're either holding poses or you're doing what's called vinyasas, where you're doing flows, where you're going from move to move to move. And yoga is also very, very helpful. So any of these can be helpful right now. So if you want to protect your joints, don't do such high impact. If you go running, it's probably not going to be the best thing long term for your joints, unless you are somebody who's a runner and your joints are okay with that. But stationary or recumbent bicycles or bicycling in general can help you. That's a pretty low impact activity. Elliptical trainers, exercising in water, as I said. Using heat or alternating hot and cold can help. Heat can be very, very soothing. I tend to prefer heat. If you do heat, it is a good idea to use the first rule of hydrotherapy, which is always end with cold. So if you're doing a hot pack, it's good to do a cold. You can just take a washcloth and run it in cold water and scrub the part when you're done. And it doesn't have to be for long. In fact, it shouldn't probably shouldn't be for long. So if you have a heating pack on your back for 20 minutes, when you take the heating pack off, go get a washcloth, rinse it out in cold water and scrub your back or have someone else do it. And then, you know, you move gently. You know, when you start moving, you should always warm up. It's a really good idea to do that. And if you're going to do any kind of cardio activity, it's a good idea to start with a warm up. When Ron teaches spin classes, he doesn't go right into the workout. You do a warm up first. And I have found that if I'm going to run, it's a good idea for me to walk a good half mile before I start any kind of running, and then walk a half mile at the end of the run. And I don't run very often, but we're getting into the Manchester Road Races in a few weeks, so we're going to do that at party pace. So I have to get ready for that. All right, you're going to go slowly. You're going to exercise with slow and easy movements. If you feel pain, you can take a break. Sharp pain and pain that's stronger than your usual joint pain might show you that something is wrong. Don't work through the pain. If you're in pain, back off. You're already in pain, so why would you want to make the pain worse? So back off and figure out a way to do the movement that doesn't hurt. And if you're really in pain, stop what you're doing and then take care of it. You can ice afterwards. I like to exercise caution with ice because I feel like ice slows down circulation. The thing with ice is that it does reduce inflammation. So if there's inflammatory compounds coming to the area, it'll help to dry them out. But your body does also need to heal. So if you do, I am much more of a fan of alternating hot and cold. If you want to do a bit of ice for an acute injury, you can do that. You might want to pair it with some warm, but for a subacute injury or an injury that's been there for a while, I'm much more of a fan of alternating hot and cold. Or if you're using a heating pack, like I said, do a cold mitten scrub afterwards. And don't overdo. Overdoing is how people get hurt and need joint replacements and knee replacements. And if you overdo it and your exercise, you're not going to be able to exercise anymore. So it's not a good idea. And so if you have an inflammatory arthritis, if we have a rheumatic condition where you're seeing a rheumatologist, you might have to consult with your doctor about what the best way to go about things is. If you're in a flare, is it a good idea to do excessive exercise? It might not be a good idea to go for a 100-mile bike ride, but if you're in a flare, doing a gentle walk or getting in the water might be a good idea because it's going to move the inflammatory compounds through. There are exercise programs for people with arthritis, and the Arthritis Foundation conducts some of these. Sometimes there are arthritis classes at your local gym or at your yoga studio. And the thing is, I'm still talking to a lot of people. I've spoken to a lot of people this week. My patients who don't have COVID said to me, I'm not ready to go to a gym yet. And I'm hearing that from a lot of people, and I kind of feel that way too. Other people are okay with going to a gym, especially if you're in a gym where they require you to be masked. But I have many patients who are like, I'm not going inside of a gym. The concern about going into a gym is that people are breathing hard. And what's lousy about COVID is that the way you catch it, the primary way you catch it is not by touching stuff. The way you, primary way you catch it is from aerosols. So if people are breathing hard, they're breathing out a spray. This is not the same as droplets, where if you cough or sneeze, you get these big droplets that come out of your mouth. They're heavy and they drop to the ground. And if you're more than 6 feet away from somebody, you're not going to get a droplet on you. It's the aerosols. So it's when I'm making aerosols as I'm talking to you right now. You're fine because you're on the other side of the screen. But the aerosols carry virus particles, and that's how people catch COVID. And so when you're in a gym where people are breathing very hard, they're spewing out aerosols. And so if people are not masked, I'd be very concerned about that. So if you're wearing a mask, masks catch a fair bit of the aerosols. They're not 100%, but they're much better than if you weren't wearing a mask. So, you know, make sure you're in a place where it all depends. Like, if you're in a region where there's a spike in COVID cases, you might want to do that. Mansfield Community Center, I feel pretty safe about because our case rate is very low in Mansfield right now. Although people are coming from outside of Mansfield to go to the Mansfield Community Center. But your experience is there's not a lot of people in the building even.
Not a lot. No. And so, everyone's very spread out. I think it's probably one of the safer places in the area.
And you have to wear a mask.
And you have to wear a mask.
Right.
Yep.
So, and if you're concerned about swimming during the time of COVID, I'm really not concerned about swimming. If you go to the Mansfield Community Center, you would be masked when you walk in, when you're in the locker room. And then when you get into the pool, when you're on the pool deck, you have to be wearing your mask. You take your mask off when you get into the water. And then once your face is in that water, you're not catching COVID. COVID is not going to survive. COVID is not going to survive soap. It's not going to survive alcohol. It's not going to survive chlorine. So even if you're breathing the same water, you know, you're snorting out water in the same water as somebody else, you're not going to catch COVID in the pool. It can't survive chlorine. Where you're more likely to catch COVID if you get close to somebody at poolside and have a conversation with them where you're breathing aerosols in each other. But when your face is in the water, don't worry about it. So if you want to chat with your friend who's in the next lane, then what you do is when you get to the side of the pool, make sure your mask is handy. Put the mask on. You stand on one side of the, back away on the other side of the lane, and they stand on the other side of the lane, so there's a separation between you, and then you have your chat. Make sure you're masked, and then you can socialize. All right?
Yep.
Okay. So swimming is good. Swimming is very good for arthritis. Okay, so let's talk about, now that we're talking about swimming, let's talk about why swimming is good for arthritis in particular. It's one of the best exercises for arthritis. And so when you swim, 90% of your body weight is supported by the water. So it's almost like you're weightless. It's very nice. It's a very nice feeling. You don't have to carry yourself. Helps you tone up the supporting muscles. And, you know, when you move your joints around, it doesn't hurt so much. You can do aqua jogging. You can get a belt that holds you up so you float, and you can go jogging in the water.
Seen them all.
And they do it at the community center, sure.
Well, yeah, and if you're a track and field or cross-country coach, you are very familiar with those.
Get out.
Right.
I didn't realize
that. You use
them
all the time for injured runners. Absolutely.
For injured runners. Makes sense.
Absolutely.
So you can get, so if you go to the Mansfield Community Center, they have the belts, and you can do the water jogging. And aqua aerobics. There are aerobics classes that you can take at the water. What I'm not sure. Do you know if they wear masks in the water when they're doing the water aerobics classes?
I do not.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know. Are they still doing water aerobics classes
there? I don't know that either.
Yeah, we should find out. So they have had water aerobics classes at the Mansfield Community Center, so you could look into that. And anywhere that there's a pool, any YMCA, whether the Indian Valley, which is in Ellington, and there's a Y in Putnam, and there's a pool at Star Hill in Tolland. So you find your local pool. There's a place, there's a pool finder to find your local pool, so you could do that. So rheumatoid arthritis is not so common, but it can be helpful to get in the water for your joint comfort and to get good relief. So, All right. Now, here's another fun item. Why seawater is good for you. Because I've always been a fan of the ocean. So what's interesting is I like to listen to Maya Mbialik's Breakdown. It's one of my favorite podcasts because she talks about mental health and she interviews all these really interesting people. And she will often ask her guests, what's your favorite place to be? And she'll phrase it in, what's your favorite outdoor place to be? And most of the people say something to do with the ocean or the beach, which is interesting. So, and I'm that person too. If I could pick any nature to be in, it would be the ocean. It would be the beach. A great day for me in the summer is one where I get to go to the beach, and especially if I get to go in the water, or if I get to go visit my mom and I get to go to the beach in Florida, and especially if I get to actually be in the water. It just makes me feel so good. It makes me feel so much healthier. So why is that? And the interesting thing is not everybody has their favorite nature. And when I'm talking to patients, I ask them, what's your favorite nature? Because I'm not going to tell you, you should go to the beach. I'll suggest it to them, but if they're like, I can't stand the beach, it makes me feel yucky. I'm like, okay, so tell me your favorite nature. And people vary in what they like. And a lot of people around here, they like the mountains. And, you know, of course, they have access to mountains around here. Mm-hmm. People go to, they go to the Berkshires. A lot of people like to go to the White Mountains or the Green Mountains because we're not that far. I mean, it's not next door. But, if you go a few hours north, you can be in the White Mountains. You can be in the Green Mountains in Vermont. So Vermont and New Hampshire are very popular around here. And so those people are going to be like, yep, I'm going to my cabin in New Hampshire. I'm going to my cabin in Vermont. I'm going to go hang out in Maine. But if you like the seawater, here's why the ocean water is good. So ocean water can be really helpful. The use of seawater and sea salt have a lot of beneficial effects. The ancient Greeks knew about this. They used seawater 2,500 years ago to help all kinds of stuff, eczema, arthritis, asthma, back pain. Even Hippocrates was big on seawater. He saw that it helped wounds, prevents infections, and if you've just had teeth pulled and you gargle and swish your mouth with seawater, it can help with the healing process.
Yeah, I got that. I got that going on.
Yes.
Yep.
You can also gargle with salt water, and it'll help. It'll kill pretty much anything that's at the back of your throat. And I, you know, the rinses I do for my, to help prevent infection and also to help my teeth contain sea salt in them. They either sea or Himalayan salt, either one of those. And Himalayan salt is originally from the ocean. So a small piece of the ocean runs in our bloodstream. That's what started life. Our body is salty. It has a lot of minerals in it. Not just salt, sodium chloride. It also has calcium, magnesium, silicon, iodine, and these are all trace minerals that improve the function of metabolism. Well, calcium, magnesium are not trace minerals. They're macro minerals. Calcium, magnesium, and sodium are those are macro minerals. I think that iodine is considered a micronutrient, but iodine is an essential mineral because you really need it to make thyroid hormone. So you need to ingest some iodine so that you can make thyroid hormones, one of the principal components of thyroid hormone. So the ocean, being in the ocean, there's also bromine in the ocean, and bromine is a compound it's an element that also has a calming effect. Magnesium also is in ocean water, and it helps your body to get rid of extra water. And so if you ever took an Epsom salt bath, that helps to reduce inflammation. And salt acts on your skin receptors and stays in your layer. I didn't know this. When you get in the ocean, the seawater, the minerals stay in your skin for a few weeks afterwards. And so your skin stays nourished after a long swim. That's going to make me want to at least take a sea salt bath. So you can get bath salts that have seawater in them or that have dead sea salt in them even.
Mm.
So it's protective for your skin. It helps with breathing, helps with pain and stress, helps with detoxification, helps your immune system. Seawater also has silicic acid, which is basically made from sand. Sand is mostly silica. And if lightning strikes sand, what happens to it?
Turns to glass.
You've got it. That's right. Exactly right. And that's what glass is made of.
Yeah.
Right, because you're superheating the sand, and the sand is mostly silica, and glass is mostly silica. I'm pointing to the window over there.
Yeah.
So silica, we use silica homeopathically, and silica in material doses also helps ease skin problems like eczema and psoriasis, and we use it homeopathically as well. And it's helpful for people with any kind of joint pain, body aches, muscle contractions. The minerals in seawater altogether help your liver, skin, and kidneys to detoxify. And also, there's the negative ions. So there's negatively charged ions and particles of sea salt. Because when you're around the ocean, you have waves happening, and so there's all these minerals in the water, and so the water is agitated. And because it's agitated, you get molecules banging against each other, so they lose some of their electrons. So you have negative ions in the air. When you have waves, some of the particles are mechanically ripped apart from the waves. So they're in the air and you're breathing them in and they're hitting your skin. And then when you actually get in the water, you're going to get the benefit of the negative ions too, because the water is agitated. Any agitated water is going to help you. So even if you're at a waterfall, a freshwater waterfall, you're going to get the minerals from that water. I mean, there's minerals in a running river because it's going over dirt. And so any agitated water is going to be good for you. That's why people are attracted. You're sort of naturally attracted to waterfalls and rapids. You just like to stand there and look at it, and it makes you happy. Well, it's not just making you happy. It's actually giving you negative ions. So any kind of moving water, especially if it's agitated, is going to make you feel better. And you notice how you're sort of drawn to it. Like I drove across the Eagleville Dam on the way to Dr. Suez's yesterday. And I always look. I want to see how fast mm-hmm. the dam is rolling. And it's just nice to look at, you know, just standing. It's like staring at a fire. When you see a fire, you kind of stare at it.
Yep.
And same thing with agitated water. You like to look at it because there's something healing about that. I think it's just the motion is healing, looking at it is healing, but I also think it's the negative ions. So there you go. So, Ron, we didn't get to do the thing.
We're going
to
do a thing.
So we'll do the thing next week. It's fine.
We'll do the thing next week.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So you'll ask me a whole bunch of questions next week. So thank you, everybody, for listening today. I'm going to go now. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions or comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. And Kevin, thank you so much for your question today.